Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello there, welcome to a brand new Arse Blog Arsecast right here on arseblog.com. It has been a week of contrast for Arsenal Football Club, not even a week, a few days, Wednesday to Sunday or Sunday to Wednesday, whatever way you want to look at it. The differences between then and now or then and the further back then, well, they couldn't be more marked. Sunday, pain and anguish. Wednesday, joy and the opposite of anguish. Sunday, Arsenal fans wondering, where do we go from here? But more importantly, how do we get to where we're going from here when we figure out where it is we go from here? Wednesday, aha, we can see pretty much how we get to where we're going from here, but we don't quite know where it is we're going. But at least we know how we're going to get there. Kinda. Sunday, a team, a squad, decimated by injury and suspension, by lack of quality. Wednesday, we buy players with experience and quality and height and flair and experience and leadership and experience and age. Some of them are old enough to drive. It's fantastic. Sunday, 8 goals against. Wednesday, clean sheet. So the differences between the 2 days really couldn't be more marked, and I think one day probably had a big effect on the other. I know we went to Old Trafford and got a pasting before with that 6-1 defeat, but I think in fairness, that was just a freaky day, because you look at the Arsenal team that day, it had Seaman, Pires, Vieira, Parler, Silvinho, Wiltord, Henry. On the bench, we had Ljungberg, Bergkamp, Kanu. And sure, we had Grimaldi and Stepanovs at centre-half, but come on, we should have been able to do more. So what happened that day was a freak, a good team, a little bit weakened, just having a bad day and United taking advantage. What happened on Sunday just gone was a mess entirely of our own making. The two fullbacks, Jenkinson, little bit out of his depth, you have to say, but at least he gave it his all. When we're forced into a position where we have to play Armand Traore, well, you know, if I was a football manager and one of my players decided to go out onto the pitch chewing gum, I would say to him, why do you think it's okay to chew gum when you're playing football? You need to concentrate on the football, not masticating like a big old cow. Do you know who you look like? You look like the love child of Alex Ferguson and Sam Allardyce. You see them on the sidelines, chewing gum, madly, their jaws gyrating back and forth like a half-paralysed, leprous stripper. Why do you think it's okay to represent Arsenal Football Club and go out and chew gum? Come here for a second, I would say. And then I would order the doctor to sew his mouth shut. And that would be the last time he would ever chew gum when he was playing for Arsenal Football Club. It might hamper his communication during the game, but it would clearly send a message to him and the rest of the squad that such on-pitch chomping is not acceptable. But we're moving away from the real issue, and it's not Armand Traore and his terrible chewing gum. It's basically the fact that we had the weakest squad out there that I can ever remember seeing under Arsene Wenger. The weakest squad, the weakest team. A team badly in need of direction and leadership, something to give it something new. And it was almost inevitable what happened. United played well, but they didn't have to play that well. And I was genuinely fearful for a while that they might get double figures. I mean, we didn't help ourselves. some of the players out there are capable, or should be capable, of playing better than they did. Our central defensive pairing, well, that didn't work at all. Got a feel for a goalkeeper like Chesney who's got the passion. I mean, did you see him after one of the goals? Was it the Nani goal? And he kicked the post as hard as he could. That's the kind of thing that gets your toe broken and your goalkeeper, your good goalkeeper, out for 6 or 8 weeks. These are the other consequences of that. 8-2, a Premier League game. 8-2. You don't see it at Sunday League level that often. And for an Arsenal team to concede 8 goals in one game against Manchester United, well, is pretty shocking. Embarrassing, really, for the football club. And I think perhaps it was a bit of a wake-up call to the manager, maybe not to the manager, but to the men at the top, that something had to be done. And then since they went in the transfer market and bought the Korean guy Park, Mertesacker, good signing, Andre Santos, I don't know too much about him, but we needed a left-back and we've got one. 2 central midfielders of the creative ilk in Yossi Benayoun, player I've never really had that much time for, but the Mug Smasher always said was a good, good player, and he watched him more than I did, so I'll take his word on that. And Mikel Arteta, who I've always liked. I think he's a really good player and a very good signing. Not exactly a Cesc replacement, but then how do you do that? So it wasn't necessarily the amazing transfer window that everyone wanted, and certainly you can ask a lot of questions about how the deals were done and when they were done. But the most important thing is that they were done and that we've got a chance to turn things around a little bit. Deadline day was kind of interesting and kind of fun. Arteta was on, off, it's on. And then it was actually on. Bit reminiscent of Arshavin. And I think that was the signing that tied everything together and an important signing too. And I'm looking forward to seeing him in the red and white. So the mood has changed. Because after Old Trafford it was very bad, and now it's, well, it's not so bad. It's better. And, well, you could say that's not difficult to make it better. At least it is better. And we can look forward with a little bit of confidence and hope to what's coming. Joining me now in a few moments' time to talk about all the bits and pieces that have gone on, including Old Trafford and the transfer dealings and where we go from here, will be a good player and the man from East Lower. They'll be along now shortly. Right now, here's Internet Joe.
I'm Internet Joe, and here's me 30-second roundup. Old Trafford, 8-2, that's it, that's the final straw. Wenger's got to go now, absolutely, he's out. Bring in Frank Rijkaard, and your man America, Soylent Stan. Enough of that dope. Bring in fucking Garry Kasparov, that's the fella. He might be a big, fat, ugly cunt, but he'll spend some fucking money, tell you how much he'll spend the money. They've taken the piss out of us for fucking far too long now. Yay, new players!
We'll have more from Internet Joe on next week's Arscast, and hopefully he won't have to react to anything like the 8-2 again, because the idea of somebody having a prolapsed rectum out their mouth, well, I don't really want to think about it too much. Still to come, we'll be talking to the greatest striker that ever lived. Now, though, we have to go back in time a bit. Not too far. Sunday is where we'll begin with my guests who will pore over the events of this rather eventful week for Arsenal Football Club. First up, good player from goodplayer.com.
Hello.
And the man from East Lower.
Hello.
Let us start, man from East Lower, if we might, and take you back to last Sunday. Old Trafford, Manchester United 8, Arsenal 2. I realise, and I think we all realise, that things haven't gone quite as smoothly as they might have done this summer, but it's very difficult to find any good sporting explanation for that kind of a result at this level of football.
It really is. Yeah, it really is. It was an extraordinary defeat, really. Quite amazing. It's sometimes very hard to work out exactly what went wrong, but once you start looking at it a bit closer, you know, it's a combination of many things. Very weak first team, very weak bench, and just a shambolic sort of setup, you know, for the game. They just carried on attacking when it was clear that they were going to get nothing from it, and it's just a mess from beginning to end.
Good player was one of the criticisms that, aside from the paucity of options that we had, one of the criticisms was the manager's approach to the game, or seeming lack of approach in the way that, you know, we took off Coquelin, who was playing as a defensive midfielder, and from that point conceded five goals. The lack of tactical direction that the team had was an issue. Was that something that concerned you?
Yes, I think it was. But I think more than that was you just saw how these players just had lost a hell of a lot of belief over the summer. They'd seen, you know, player after player who was qualified to play for the first team leave, and one come in. And they looked around them, and you know, you'd have to be mad to think, well, this is a good situation. I think they'd lost a hell of a lot of belief. And I'm not talking about the kind of last season belief where you lose to Birmingham and then the whole world collapses and it's like, well, come on, what's going on here? I think it's a belief of, well, where is this club going? And quite understandably, and that kind of just that's something you have. I think we've all had it when we play football, of just being able to pull yourselves together. And I just think Wenger's, what happened over the last few weeks has just ripped so much out of them in a way, and we were just incredibly vulnerable. I suppose it's worth saying as well, to a small extent, that we were up against a team who were pinging them in from all angles, and that should be noted as well. But you watched it, and there genuinely was part of me that actually thought this isn't the worst thing in the world, because you know there's no hiding now. Hmm. Yeah, there's absolutely no hiding now from this. No one can pretend that this is satisfactory, and we can't just fiddle around on transfer deadline day and not really do anything. The Udinese thing was great, but in a way it kind of masked, you know, the fact that there were serious issues this summer.
Do you think it was something of a watershed moment? I mean, we know that Arsene Wenger, when you look at the teams that he's managed down through the years and the players that he's had at his disposal, you know, the team that was out there against Manchester United, you know, it's very difficult to tally that with what's come before, that he can't himself have looked at that group of players that he had available to him. And I know there's a couple of injuries and a couple of suspensions, but even still, he couldn't possibly have looked at that as a team that could go to Old Trafford and get something from the game.
Look, you know, Cesc, Nasri, Clichy, even Aboué, even Danielson, and Bentner, because Bentner wasn't involved really either, I don't think. You know, those six down, and we brought in one player who was suspended, you know, as it happened. Mm. Yeah, you just, of course not. I mean, you can't argue we were massively weaker than last season when we struggled as it was. And, you know, it was an astonishingly weak squad that we went into this season with. And, you know, players like Nasri against Liverpool, you had Nasri playing his last game, Frimpong next to him playing his first game. I mean, it was an absolute, you know, catastrophe. It was such a mess. And you would have thought the season started next week, not 3 weeks ago. That's what I just find astonishing, frankly.
All right. Well, we'll come back to that in a little while. Man from East Lower, would you go along with the sentiment that, in a way, it was a good thing that it happened, that if we could call it a rock-bottom moment, maybe we could call it that? We don't know what lies ahead, but it looks like we've improved. Do you think, you know, what happened subsequently to that, the business that we did before the transfer deadline, was affected in any great way by what happened at Old Trafford, or were these signings that were necessary anyway?
Well, that's a very good question. I'm not sure we'll ever know, because then I don't think they'd ever admit that, oh yeah, we weren't going to sign anyone, but then we decided, because that would just make them look, you know, really, really rank amateur. So it appears to be that that it was a bit of a knee-jerk reaction, but you know, I'd hate to think it was, because if you consider the implications of that, and it's really worrying, isn't it? That that A, on the one hand, he thought, well, maybe this squad is good enough. You know, I haven't yet to meet a single person who thought it was, or who thinks it was. And then just the kind of last minute nature of the whole thing. It's really odd. It's very hard to get to the bottom of, I think.
It got Wenger to see what we all saw, or Wenger, whoever the club, whatever you want to call it, to see what we all saw, in a way. You know, and they couldn't hide behind anything anymore. And so from that point of view, you know, they only did what we all wanted them to do, you know, at the very least, you know, which is, so it's not like they went and shocked us all with all these crazy, bizarre stuff. You know, it was literally pretty much what we'd all been calling for most of the summer.
It was, I mean, the transfer deadline day, I mean, the wheels were put in motion with the Korean striker, and Then we had Mertesacker, Santos, and on deadline day, Arteta and Ben Ayoun, which clearly are two signings that are going to try and add some creative juice to the team, because without Fabregas and without Nasri, not Nasri so much in terms of creation, but certainly without Fabregas, you can't replace him with one player, because no one player can do what he did. But certainly, when you look at what we've had out there, and try as he might, Thomas Rosicki is a shadow of the player he probably should have been. Those two signings, we'll start with those. Are you happy with those, man from East Lower?
Yes, in as much as we needed two bodies, and they're both experienced, they're both creative players. So, yeah, given the nature of how we seem to have gone around our business, you know, last minute, then you can't really complain with those two. Arteta in particular, you know, I find an exciting signing. And Ben Ayoun, I've always had a bit of a thing about him. I've never quite rated him personally, but I think it's probably a subjective thing rather than an objective thing. So yeah, I think given the sort of the late timing of it all, that does make our midfield a lot stronger. There's no denying that.
Good player.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, people talk about the marquee signing, and yeah, we could have splurged, you know, 20 million on Hazard or Envia, but let's be honest here, these guys are French kids who most of us don't know a lot about, you know, and with no Premier League experience. So, you know, it's very difficult. The idea that we could have gone out and bought Michael Carrick, for example, or something, not really going to happen, is it? No. So, you know, in the circumstances, you bought a guy who's 29, who's played for a club that's routinely in the top seven, and does that without having the financial resources of some of the clubs who kind of finished just above them, and it, you know, has bucket loads of Premier League experience. And the same goes for Ben Ayoun. And it's worth remembering that only a year ago, Chelsea bought him off Liverpool. You know, that was a year ago when he was 30. And okay, it raised a few eyebrows at the time, but I don't think Chelsea were totally insane in what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what's to complain? You know, you weren't going to get Gareth Barry. You know, fine, they're not English, but for me, that doesn't matter. I think Premier League experience does matter. And yeah, I mean, you know, you've got a, and players like Arteta, we saw with Ashley Young on Sunday. Ashley Young at Villa was a fairly decent player. You put him in a Man U shirt, and it's to Rooney and that lot. And you know, it can raise a player. And Arteta's a good player, but hopefully the same will happen with him. We've become so unaccustomed to any guy who we've actually seen play before then going on to play for Arsenal that we forget that can happen.
We've got Sylvester syndrome, I think.
Yes, there was. I tried to block that out of my mind.
Let's look at what came in at the back then. Mertesacker, 26 years of age, 6'6", hugely experienced German international. The one question people have about him is his pace, or lack of pace, apparently. I think that's not a big, big problem when it comes to centre-halves, to be honest, if you've got experience and you can read the game well. And a fullback, obviously we had to do something about the left-back position. As highly rated as Kieran Gibbs is, he's injured quite a lot. Armand Traore, well, I don't have the swear words at hand to say what I think about him after what happened on Sunday. A man from East Lower, the defensive side of things was something that we needed to be done all summer. What do you think about that business?
Yeah, I think both necessary. Mertesacker is going to be a good signing. I'm pretty sure of that. I'm not worried about the pace so much like you. You know, when Sol came back for his second spell, he played really well, and he was, you know, he was as slow as a cart horse by then. And so I'm not too worried about that. If you've got sort of a mobile defence around you, then, and you're kind of set up properly, then I'm not so worried about that. You know, whether we all be set up properly at the back, well, you know, that's another, I think that's almost another issue there. You know, they sort of said that they worked on set pieces all summer, but I think that's probably a bit gone out the window in the last couple of days. So, but yeah, Santos at left back. I think Gibbs could make it, but you know, he's clearly not there just yet. So both good signings, as far as I can tell at this stage.
And what it does is provide competition within the squad as well, doesn't it?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
You know, I think, was it you that made the point, Good Play, in your blog, that if Gibbs is going to make it, he's going to have to get past this guy. He's going to have to compete with Santos. Giroud's going to make the step up, or Koscielny to play regularly, he's going to have to get past this German international. And what the other interesting thing for me as well was that we do have this, as much as people criticize the youth side of things, we do have this core, I suppose, of young British players who could go on to play for the club for many, many years, but it looked like they were without guidance or without anyone to educate them. And the profile of the players that we've brought in really does readdress the balance within the squad.
Oh, it undoubtedly readdresses the balance within the squad. It looks far healthier now. Five guys who are age 25 plus. You know, that we haven't had that many players come in here age 25 plus. It's taken about 6 years previously for that many 25 plus year olds to come in. And I just think on Mertesacker, I mean, this guy is 26. He's played 79 times for Germany. I actually went back and counted how many times Germany had played since he made his debut in October 2004, and it's something like 89 times. So that tells you he's played in basically every single game. Now, if we had an England international who'd done that, you know, we'd be doing cartwheels. The only difference here is he's German. And so, unlike England, Germany actually kind of get to the very latter stages of tournaments. You know, and this guy's been in two semi-finals and one final out of his three tournaments. And I mean, what is not to like? You know, I mean, this is a, I have to say I'm excited by this. And it's, and I think it's great that if Giroud and Koscielny are going to make it, they're going to have to elbow someone out the way to get there. And that's how it should be. You don't kill, you know, this idea of killing Danielson, you know.
Careful now, I know there's an obvious joke.
But it was such a farcical idea. If you're good enough, you fight your way to the top, and you're not incubated in some kind of little pond while everyone else in the real world is in a big lake fighting it out, you know. And it seems that finally that has been acknowledged, and that, you know, a bit late in the day, but at least he's got there.
And any thoughts on the South Korean guy? I mean, he's ahead of Shamak, surely, in the pecking order already.
I think it's a bit of a worry up front. Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, I think up front, I'm slightly concerned about goals because I'm sure he's good, but he's going to take time to settle, and he's not got an incredible goal-scoring record. And, Shamak at the moment, you know, doesn't look like he's going to score for quite a long time. So we are very reliant on Robin Van Persie, obviously.
Yeah, I was just going to say that by all accounts, he's got a very strong work ethic. And, you know, Bentner, that was one of the areas some would say he lacked in a bit. And Shamak seems to be all over the place at the moment. So, you know, I think it's great to have someone with a bit of energy up the front. But we just need to see him play first, don't we?
I would still have some vague concerns that we might be a bit light in the striker department for a long season, but we'll have to wait and see. Man from East Lower, where are we now then, after the transfer window is closed, and given the fact that August, from the league point of view, was pretty much, it went as badly as, you know, it possibly could have gone. If we had fears, they were well-founded, and we were kind of found out. But looking ahead, how do you view the squad in terms of its potential? I think it's unrealistic completely to talk about winning the title, but is this squad now strong enough to compete for a top four place?
I think the main thing for me is you look back at, well, like you say, this season started pretty much as badly as it could have from a league point of view. And it ended about as badly as it could have from a league point of view. It's been about, you know, it feels like about 20 matches now where something hasn't been right. Wenger just hasn't been able to bring them out of the gutter and for more than just a kind of a game. And that, for me, is the biggest challenge, is how do you get them playing consistently well again? Because it just doesn't seem, you know, it's been missing. Something's been missing. So, from, you know, bringing these new guys in is definitely a step in the right direction, and there's no doubt there's a buzz around the place, and that can only help. So, can we challenge for a top four place? Well, you'd think so, but you know, we just have to wait and see how it all pans out in the next month, because we have been playing generally, if you look at the broad picture, pretty badly for a long time.
Good play. I mean, it is true that if you look back towards last season as well, and I don't think you can just take this season in isolation, because you know, it's a sequence and it's one that we're on. From a league point of view, we've been pretty bad. Sometimes, though, it takes something to turn it around. Maybe this influx of players, maybe this signifies that, you know, there's more expected from the players that are there, and these guys will come in and improve us and help us kickstart.
I think so. I think one thing I think he has managed to do this summer is to take out some of the trash, to put it crudely. And I think there were attitude issues last season, and I think some of the players who were perhaps culpable of that have now left the club. Maybe not all of them, but a few have. I think I'd include Sami Nasri in the second half of the season among those, with all, you know, to be perfectly frank. And so the hope is that these five guys who have come in are all guys who have actually made it, who have made it, you know, as professional, properly as professional footballers. And the hope is that, you know, the attitude will be there. And there are players at the club with a good attitude, you know, who give it their all, Vermaelen, Van Persie, Wilshere, etc. It's, you know, it's fairly obvious, Sanya, who they are. And the hope is that the balance is tipping, and that, you know, and that, because it's unbelievable when you're having, you're sitting there going, you know, our problem is we're not trying hard enough. I mean, you know, it's one thing lacking ability, but you know, even Wenger admitted, you know, at times towards the end of last season that the, you know, whatever he called it, the focus, the effort, blah, 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 wasn't there. And that's a major thing. I think in terms of, can we get finishing the top four? I think we can. I'm not saying we will. I think we can, because I don't think our squad is massively weaker than the one that finished in the top four last season. And I think at centre back it's stronger, because we haven't sold anyone and we've bought in this kind of, you know, beast, if you like, hopefully. And so we wait and see. The point is now that there is hope. There is hope, there is a buzz. And you know, you saw Jack Wilshere on Twitter, and I know it sounds silly, but actually sometimes you just need that buzz. And we've been so kind of so utilitarian for so long in the way that we just kind of, you know, never kind of just actually throw the final £1 million at it. You know, just everything has just been so kind of grey the way we've conducted ourselves. And, you know, maybe now the shackles have come off a bit and we can, you know, start getting back to what we want to do.
Okay, well, while we have a bit of hope from the football side of things, and I think, you know, certainly in the space of 5 days, I've never known a mood turn around as quickly, because it was quite murderous after Old Trafford, obviously, and everyone was very upset and depressed. And here we are, and we've got more hope, and we're thankful of players that have come in. We have to look, I suppose, beyond the manager, though, the man from East Lore. The club itself, it would be fair to say, haven't really covered themselves in any kind of glory this summer when it comes to our transfer dealings, to the players coming in, certainly to the players going out. We've done well in one regard, not so well in another, in terms of the money we got for Cesc and for Samir Nasri. But it seems to have been a bit directionless, rudderless in a way. And from things I'm hearing behind the scenes, not everything is well, and it needs a bit more direction, a bit more leadership. Your thoughts on that and the continued silence of our
of our esteemed owner, Mr. Kroenke?
I don't think the club has had a great, from a PR point of view, it's been great this summer at all. I totally agree with you. We've heard next to nothing, and it seems to have just floated on. So you do have to, under those circumstances, ask what is going on at the top, and it's all very well being Mr. Silent. If you like to shun the media, that's his lookout. But sometimes you just need to give out a few positive messages and sort of come at the fans with a bit more of an explanation of what's going on, and we haven't really had any of that. So that's why you kind of end up with all of these conspiracy theories and what's going on behind the scenes. And there may be something going on behind the scenes, but we don't know anything because we're not told anything.
Good player. What's your thoughts on a club like Arsenal in need of investment, going through a transfer window, making £40 million, £50 million worth of profit? This is coming after putting up ticket prices and prices in general and justifying those by saying, well, our costs are higher. But when you're making £50 million in a transfer window, it's a difficult sell, to get fans on side.
It's a very difficult sell. I mean, how much does charging 40,000 people £100 extra roughly a year make? It makes you about £4 million, which, compared to £50 million is not a lot of money. I think the PR has been terrible. Fine. You don't have to be Harry Redknapp and wind down your window twice a day and talk to Sky News and tell them what's going on. But at some point, you do need to say a little bit of what's going on, basically. And, that's the same for, almost every business in the world. And this idea of, doing your stuff behind closed doors is all very well, but it mustn't become an excuse for not doing your stuff either. And I certainly think that the owner would be well advised to, just talk a little bit, let people know what's going on, why it's going on. And they do need to, they even need to spend their money in January, which I don't think anyone would resent at all. Or they need to explain why on earth season ticket prices went up and make sure they don't go up next season. It's pretty black and white, frankly. I'm not particularly interested in the fact that, the cost of stewards' jackets have gone up and so they need to charge us a bit more money. Don't care, really. We're talking about huge sums of money they've made this summer. Admittedly, they probably would have rather not made those sums in terms of Fabregas and Nasri, but they have, and they haven't spent it. January is another time, and hopefully they'll spend some of it.
I mean, I think they always knew they were going to make that money as well. So, it's the sort of lack of plan, I suppose, or if there was a plan, how badly it was executed. Before we go, very quickly, I'll ask both of you, just again, man from East Lower, are you encouraged now? Is there a sense that, we get through this interlull, and I think everyone kind of needs it just to back away from the mayhem a little bit, and we get back on track against Swansea and the season kicks off from there?
Yeah, of course I'm encouraged. You have to be encouraged when the club's brought five players in 2 days. It's a really positive sign. It was needed. It signifies a bit of a change of tack, which I think has been needed. So, if I was to carry on whinging about, oh, well, we didn't go for the big ones or this, that and the other, then I'm just going to be whinging all season. So, no, I'm much more positive. It's a step in the right direction, and I think we can be a lot more competitive from now.
Good player.
Yeah, I'm much more positive. I think the club would be naive to rest on their laurels, and I think they should publicly acknowledge that something went wrong this summer and explain how it won't go wrong in future summers and transfer windows. But obviously much more positive, because I just think the players themselves will be much more positive and will believe that actually maybe this club is going somewhere, as opposed to just selling all its assets and making, just not making the purchases to replace them. It's a pretty simple fact. I think everyone will be much more positive. I think that gives us a better chance of doing what we want to do this season.
And of course, the stewards' jackets are very nice and shiny and new, so everyone's happy.
Quite.
We better leave it there. Gentlemen, good player from goodplayer.com.
Thank you.
And the man from eastlower.co.uk. Thank you.
Cheers, bye.
Thank you very much indeed to both of those gentlemen. You can find them on their blogs, as I just mentioned, on Twitter. You don't need to be a genius to work out what they are on Twitter. If you're stuck, go look at their blogs. They're also on Facebook and Tumblr and MySpace and Bebo. And if you're really super nice, they'll be pen pals with you. It's true. We'll be right back after this.
It's the Mick Benner Show with me, Mick Benner. Oh, I'm deadly.
Hello there, I'm McBeno, and I'm the greatest striker that ever lived. I'm better than all of them, I don't need to name them individually. As you might have noticed, I've left Arsenal. This is for the benefit of everyone. I mean, if you can't get a game ahead of the Moroccan Jeremy Eliadier, you have to call time. But that's not to say my career is going in a bad direction. Absolutely not. All the best teams in Europe after me this summer. It's true, they all wore AC Milan, Real Madrid, Paris Saint-Germain, Bayern Munich, St. Patrick's Athletic. But I have chosen instead to go to Sunderland, the greatest team in the Northeast, for the greatest striker that ever lived. And I will score goal after goal after goal, and they will say, "Oh, McBeno, we love you. I love you so much, I want to have your children. In fact, I love you so much, I want my children's children to have your children. That's how awesome you are. I want you to stay forever and ever." And I will have to say, "No, I have a mission. I have work to do around Europe. For who am I to deny them the talents of me, McBeno, the greatest striker to ever lived?"
It's the McBeno Show with me, McBeno. I'm deadly.
So this is the point where normally we would look ahead to the game this weekend to see who we've got available, who's injured, who's suspended, who we're playing, etc., etc. But, of course, there is no game this weekend because we are slap bang in the middle of an interlull. And normally I'm not such a fan of the interlull, as you know. But, given everything that's gone on, the entire summer, it's been fairly intense, you would have to say. It's sort of built into this crescendo. We got the money shot on Wednesday with all these signings. But everything that's come before, no pun intended, in terms of transfers and just everything that's gone on this summer. Players coming in and out and the drama and the waiting and the frustration, everything else. I think this is a well-timed interlull. It gives everyone a chance to step back and just take stock a bit. Look at where we are. I don't know what that is. 17th in the table? I don't know. 1 point from our first three games, not so good. But we've got 35 games left to make things better. We've got five brand new players to make things better. We've got some players who are not here anymore to not make things worse. So this interlull, I think, gives everyone a chance just to chill out a bit. Take stock. This time next week, we'll be looking ahead to a game against Swansea. So it's not too long to wait. And we'll see our five brand spanking new signings in action, I'm sure. Our squad will look better, our team will look better, the bench will look better. And hopefully, we can get our first 3 points of the season on the board. So until then, I suggest drinks with ice in them. We invented the Morfito on transfer deadline day. So if anyone has any spare morphine, please send it to 7 Dublin. I'll pick it up tomorrow. Morphine-based cocktails, I think, are the way forward. It'd be all Blade Runner-y, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be cool? Morphine-based cocktail bars. Seat turnover would be quite long, though, I'd say. People just passed out, but I could dig that. Anyway, seeing as we're talking about morphine and cocktails, I think it could be time to go. So after a mad week for the Arsenal, here we are, the far side of it. And this time next week, we'll be looking forward to football. And only football, and that's no bad thing. So until then, take it easy, have yourselves a great weekend, and talk to you on next week's Arscast. Until then, take it easy, cheers, bye-bye.
Every year, the RSPCA deals with cruelty you just can't imagine. Look at this fellow here, lost, alone, bedraggled, left out in the cold. It breaks my heart. We need you to do something about it. Remember, an Almunia is not just for four error-riddled seasons. It's for life. Please donate what you can to the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Almunias. Manuel says thank you.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.